also
Adamo, let it rain, let it snow, here we go, start the show, breakfast lot, take a bite, make it right, spaghetti, oh, no, wait till lunch, crunch my cereal bunch, Adamo, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, crack this show,
Adamo.
Hello and welcome to the Adamo podcast. Hi, boys and girls. How's everybody doing? Missed you last week. I'm so glad to be back here at the wonderful Skid Row Studios. Today, I have a really special guest in studio. He is the king of Los Angeles downtown art. He goes by the name of Andre Mirapolsky. Please welcome, boys and girls, the famous artist who changed the face of the mural in downtown, welcoming people from Japan, China, the Middle East, all over the world, when they see his art, it really speaks to what this city is about. Please welcome Andre Mirapolsky.
Fear no art. That's my life slogan, and I think it's a great introduction to this show here at Skid Row Studios, and it's my great pleasure to be here today and battling through a day and a kind of a special May Day in downtown L.A.
Hmm.
Just getting here was a rather interesting Los Angeles adventure.
Yeah, we're pretty much like ground zero of what's going on outside.
Right.
I mean, this could be the next JFK assassination.
Who knows?
And we're doing a kid's show for adults here.
Exactly.
With the world famous entrepreneur, renowned artist who pushed the limits of many medias, creating his own brand expression and painting sculptures, mobiles, graphics, sets, and costumes. He's a groundbreaking provocateur. He's right in front of me. Please welcome once again. In Russian, his name means field of peace, Andre Mirapolsky. So what's up, Andre?
Well, what an intro. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Great to have you here.
I have to say to the public out there that I love the Skid Row Studios, but these studios look pretty cool here. You've got great microphones going on.
Yeah, this is one of a kind. I mean, we're very, very lucky to be doing this show here, Skid Row Studios. You don't see this too often, especially for the podcast. This is next level shit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
No, it really is. Looks
so. I'm going to introduce you again because it seems like all I do is introduce you. We don't need to talk about anything. Boys and girls, he's a sculptor, a painter. Does posters, a lot of colors. Viva Los Angeles. Please welcome once again in minute three, Andre Mirapolsky.
Thank you.
How you doing, Andre?
You. So good. So good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
Yeah.
So how do you like L.A.?
I love L.A. L.A. has become, I've been here for decades, and I'd say in the last 6 years especially, Los Angeles has really become my life, and I've really found the city, and I really feel like I've been kind of embraced by the city, and I feel like I belong here.
Hmm.
And I think LA can be very troublesome in that way. It can, I think sometimes it can be hard to meet people here. It can be hard to find a place where you feel comfortable because, you said, when we were talking earlier, you said you travel the city, in the transit with,
well, don't tell the chicks that, dude. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Okay.
So where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Paris, and I lived in France for a couple of years, and then I lived in Austria, Thailand, Korea, Indonesia, Iran even. Went all the way through high school, actually, in Korea, and graduated from high school in Korea, and then came to L.A. to make my fame and fortune, and follow the American dream. And here I am.
So your American
Skid
dream
Row Radio.
Is Skid Row Radio. I mean, we are champions here. I mean, you got to remember, this is going to be the next, big thing, my friend. And you're going to help that. You're going to do a mural. Where would you like to do that mural of Skid Row Studios in L.A.? Where in downtown, I should say.
Where in downtown?
Yeah.
Well, there's a great wall on Spring Street with a little mini park is going in.
So if we were to stop this podcast right now, you'd still do a mural of Skid Row Studios because it's so nice.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Hey.
That is good radio right there. Good internet there, my friend.
You got me on tape.
Please welcome, boys and girls, Andre Maripolsky. So, Andre, tell us about downtown L.A. So you grew up all around the world, started in Paris. I take it when you got to L.A., that's when you discovered art.
Well, no, actually, my father's an artist, and so I started painting when I was about 8 years old. And since we lived overseas and my parents were sensitive, creative types, I was exposed to, I was schlepped to every major museum in the world. Mm. A line that I say that I honestly think is true. I got Picasso by the time I was 1 year old, and he's had an impression ever since.
You got Picasso, meaning you understood
I felt him. I got him.
Very cool.
Yeah, because they say take your kids now to between 1 and 3, their personalities are formed.
It's funny how I'm like joking with you, and honestly, you are an artiste. You're very you do multi-million-dollar projects, and I'm a kid talking to you. This is an honor.
I'd like to do a few more of those million-dollar projects, let me say.
Andre Maripolsky, everybody. So, yeah. Okay, so Picasso, who else?
Well, it's Matisse and Chagall, people from an early age. And then I graduated, of course, in the 60s, the pop art movement with Andy Warhol and Jasper Johns and Klaus Oldenburg and Rauschenberg and all those Bergs that married the commercial art with fine art, which I really seem to gravitate to. And I'll tell you, in that regard, there's one instance in my life that I remember as a defining point, that when I was it was the summer of 1964, yeah, and I happened to be in Venice, Italy at that time, and they were having the Venice Biennale, which is one of the most famous international art shows in the world. And that was the famous Biennale of 64, when this kind of the godfather of art, of American art dealers, Leo Castelli, who had all of the American pop artists in his stable, Warhol, Rauschenberg, Oldenburg, all of them that were in his stable. And he was introducing them for the first time to Europe at this 64 Venice Biennale. And I went to that as a 13-year-old kid, and I'm dating myself, but what the hell? And so I was incredibly blown away by that show. That was the first time I'd really seen this combination of pop art, which meant, was putting commercial images together with fine art images and making it all okay, and with a tremendous sense of humor. And that's something that I feel that in my own work, in whatever avenue it goes into, because I do consider myself very much a multimedia artist, I have to have some kind of a sense of humor. There's some kind of a twist that makes it, I don't want to use the word endearing, but it makes it, a little bit more approachable because of a bit of humor involved.
Very cool. Now, where could the folks in downtown L.A. see your art, your famous murals?
Well,
Viva L.A.
Well, actually, you might be promoting a bit, but... When I got involved with this renaissance of downtown Los Angeles about, 7 years ago, 2005, when it was starting. The timeline actually is pretty much from when Staples Center came online, about 99. Mm. That's kind of the official beginning of this renaissance redevelopment of downtown Los Angeles, which I'll tell you, by the time this decade is through, in the 20-year period, from basically 2000 to 2020, it's going to go down as one of the biggest historical times in Los Angeles history of redevelopment. And throughout Los Angeles history, there are these groupings of about 20-year periods that come around every generation or so, that where immigration comes in for some reason. There's a huge buildup in Los Angeles. And there's a big redevelopment. And what's going on in downtown Los Angeles, what has gone on, and what is going to go on for the next 8 years is really quite astounding.
Mm.
It's really, really astounding.
Now, were you friends with Rauschenberg and Warhol?
Oh, no, they're a generation way ahead of me.
You were a kid
when
they were coming up.
Right.
You weren't hanging around the scene.
No, I wasn't hanging around that scene. No.
Do you hang around a scene now here in downtown? You're on the board of the Los Angeles Downtown
Art Walk,
which is pretty impressive.
Well, and actually,
a lot of kids are attracted to that art walk.
Exactly. And
a lot of kids do drugs on that art walk.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, sure you don't.
Ooh, yeah. But it's good that you brought that up because one of the projects that I am currently involved with, which will be this month, is a project with joint effort between Arts Brookfield, this development company, and in the downtown LA Art Walk, taking kids from from communities that don't have access to the arts.
Mm.
And they've picked four artists. I'm one of them. Each of us will be working with a group of kids for 2 days, 6 hours a day. And through our mentoring, we will come up with something. And they will create a mural in the various artist styles, paying homage to the artists, I guess. And that image then will be blown up and made into a banner and placed on these 8 by 20 foot long fences around the 7th and Fig. They're doing a redevelopment of that complex there, that store complex, whatever. And so these will wrap around there. Now they'll be up beginning of June. So that's something very contemporary.
Nice. So downtown means a lot to you.
Well, yes, it's become pretty much my life these last 6 years in branding, but not just downtown. I started by being commissioned by the Central City Association of L.A., which is an organization that's been around for, I think, 83, 84 years. And they have two mandates. One mandate is to represent all the downtown business to the government and to be their liaison organization to work with the government from private to public. And the other one is the downtown bid, which is to beautify and to promote downtown Los Angeles. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest hurdles of this development of downtown LA has been to combat the fright factor. And I think that's pretty well done now. I mean, even 5 years ago, it was really hard for people were scared to come downtown. And after, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I mean, this place was dead.
Yeah.
And it ain't that way anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty happening nowadays.
It's pretty happy.
I really
Absolutely.
Enjoy downtown. It's probably one of my favorite spots of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So to me, Los Angeles is a city that exists behind closed doors, and you find those pockets such as Skid Row Studios, and you're like, wow, magic
happens. Totally, great example.
All over the place in the city. Right. You don't see it like, New York or San Francisco. You walk outside, and it's right there.
Right.
I mean, so was that what, art on the street means? When you see these beautiful murals, so we can see it right there and we don't have to go behind the wall to see it. Is that the meaning of a mural?
Well, that's a good question. No, a mural, a public mural is something, obviously, it should be for the public. It should be exposed to the public. It should be grand in its scope. It should be, riveting. It should be entertaining. It should be exciting.
Hmm.
In that regard, actually, there's another project. Maybe this could segue into
We love those segues.
The segues, yeah. But this is my big time life project. And it started. I was invited in 2005 to City Hall to look around City Hall to see if there was any ideas that I had for beautifying City Hall. And I came up with this idea called the LA Historama. And when this was going to be in City Hall, it was a seven-paneled, 750-square-foot, 11 different panels, illustrating the history of Los Angeles, the past, the present, and the future, all done in stained glass, backlit by LED lighting. And at the last minute, it couldn't go there because of an ordinance. At the last minute, it couldn't go there. And then it moved to the West Hall lobby of the LA Convention Center and grew to 2,000 square feet.
Hmm.
And was all set to go there. privately funded, all set to go, and then all of a sudden this NFL football stadium, or just the idea of an NFL football stadium showed up, which was enough to freeze that location.
You're kidding me. So wait, I heard about this. So you're a part of the designing the new football field that's going to be in downtown.
No, I'm not part of the designing the football field, but I could very well be. I'm part of the new convention center. There's a new addition because they're tearing down the West Hall and they're building a new version of it called Pico Hall.
And this is really going to take place?
Oh, this is
because I've been hearing about this for like 6 years now.
Well, yeah, because now AEG has come out recently within the last 2 weeks. I'm saying, you know, that they're going full force, full speed ahead in building the convention center, even without actually signing a football team.
And you're going to make it look beautiful.
So the city really has been extremely supportive of this idea, this LA Historama mural idea. I have to give credit to Jan Perry and many people, the mayor, many people in the city, for continuing.
So you're friends with the mayor of Los Angeles?
Well, I'm not friends. I'm acquainted.
You're acquainted.
I'm acquainted.
This is getting good. I like this. I mean,
I'm starting to blush here.
No, it's fine. I mean, this is how we're gonna get the studio out there. I mean, we're gonna get the mayor involved, and we're gonna make the mayor some. Is he cool with the mayor? I'm not really. I haven't gotten that close.
I mean, the person that has really been my angel in this project has been Jan Perry, and she's running for mayor. She's running for mayor, and I do think from everything that I've heard in my own experience with her, she's been 100% with me, and from everything else I've heard about her from other people, she would be the best qualified to actually be mayor. Mm. But everybody still has to run, and so I am supporting.
So let's move on from congressmen, yeah, mayors, and politicians. Let's talk about Robin Williams. So you worked with Robin Williams. It's pretty great. What did you do with Robin Williams?
Well, I created a portrait of him, a likeness of him, and through that likeness of him, that was for a cover for they were honoring him for American Cinematheque, which actually is another segue. For the American Cinematheque, that's right. And so in my portraiture, when I do portraits of people, I try to, you know, get their essences, because my stuff is kind of cartoony looking. So I try, you know, to go more for the essence, the spirit, you know, of the person. And you know, in that regard, I've worked with a lot of
The Beastie Boys.
Well, the Beastie Boys, they used a piece of mine for their video. I didn't know that they were doing that. It just happened.
What video?
You know, I can't remember. It was a while ago.
Okay,
it was
fair
a while
enough.
Ago. They used Kindergarten Sex.
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones. Yeah.
Now, what did you do with the Rolling Stones?
Well, they had a benefit they were involved with the Directors Guild and doing a benefit when they were here during their tour, and I did the artwork for this particular benefit with Directors Guild, which is another segue that just came in actually.
That's
today
three.
With the Directors Guild.
Boys and girls, you're listening to Skid Row
funny.
Studios.
There,
and we have the world famous Andre Maripolsky here.
It's funny though, but it really is true. You stay around long enough, and you know, circles. You stand up and you stay centered.
I hate cliques, man. I'm an outsider.
And things just keep going around.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
it's probably why I can't be a fine artist. You have to hang around the art world.
Well, listen, I don't really hang around the art world.
I don't wear skinny jeans, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
you seem like you're above, you know, the line there. You're the deal. You're not a little hipster running around.
I'm my own thing.
Promoting his latest graphic.
Well,
Twitter.
I'm sorry. When I came here to go to school, I went to CalArts. I was the
get out of here. No, you're just like the rest of them. You're not a punk rocker. You're a CalArts grad. That's amazing. Tim Burton. You know Tim.
Yeah, no, I don't know him. I'm before him, actually.
You know Paul Rubens?
Yes, I do. I went to school with him.
Okay.
Yeah, David
cool.
Hasselhoff, too.
David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
All right. What's the chances, part two, when you come back in, you get your old college pal, David Hasselhoff, on the show?
Right. Well, I don't know.
That's all right. I'd rather have the mayor in here anyways.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be way cooler. Then we're up there in the high-class artists at Skid Row Studios,
right,
with the mayor. Not sure if I'd be comfortable, you know, like talking to a mayor.
Well,
there's a lot of rules to follow.
Well, not if it's your show.
Ah, very, very nice.
then it's your rules, yeah.
So
that's the way to do it.
So this is the main project you're working on right now, is this football field.
Okay, no, not the football field. It's a mural. It's the mural called the LA Historama. And we're now in the process of looking for new locations. It's all about, you know, I said before, the three things in life that are everything: timing, lighting, and location. And that couldn't be any truer than in this particular situation right now. Mm. So I just recently, three weeks ago tomorrow, I had a big meeting with AEG, and we're all looking for that special, because this would be a signature piece of the whole complex, representing the downtown, representing the city. It follows, like I said, the past, the present, and the future history of L.A. I'm using the L.A. River as a through line between the past, the present, and the future. An interesting aspect of it, too, I don't have that much stained glass background in my own experience, but the company that I'm taking on to do the fabrication of the mural is a stained glass studio named Judson Studios. Now, the interesting thing about them, and remember, this is called the L.A. Historama. Judson
Studios. Sounds like a zoo.
Well, could be. It's L.A. It's all open to interpretation. But Judson Studios was founded in L.A. about two blocks from where the convention center is now in 1897. They're 115 years old, still family-owned, fifth-generation family-owned, and they're one of the most famous stained glass studios in the country and the world now. So I look at that as being, you know, kind of an honor. I've been very, very fortunate, blessed in my life, my creative experience, that when I've collaborated with other people, entities, which has happened, that seems to be my career now, but I've been very fortunate always seemingly to start at the top, first time out.
You're such an elitist, man.
Oh,
Look at that.
What can I say?
I mean, boys and girls, you're listening to Skid Row Studios, and we have the world famous.
It's the follow-up. That's the hard one. It's the follow-up.
The follow-up. Of emails?
Well, that too. But
and what's the follow-up?
Well, like,
speaking of artist language.
Like, I did costumes for Elton John. I did these seven outfits. They were all embroidered. First and only costumes I've ever done.
Pretty impressive.
And one of those costumes, this piano outfit, he wore in Central Park with a free concert, 400,000 people, and that was 1980, so it's 32 years later. But that costume has become like a signature costume of all his costumes in his career. And I've never done a costume but since then. So it's like I did my first costume on that level and never did another one, which is kind of interesting. But I'm always looking, of course.
Do you still talk to Elton John?
No, I don't.
About the costume? Is it still
no.
in good
He had,
shape?
No, he goes up and down, but you know, he's had lots and lots of costumes.
Sure. So but that's the one.
But that's, well, that's, yeah.
You know, Piano Man. There you go.
And it was all, and it's interesting because it was an I didn't realize when I got the phone call, like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I did like 24 drawings overnight, and they were delivered to him the next morning, and within hours, and that was all picked out. And what I didn't realize was the embroidery on the surface of the material, you know, is very opaque. But what I didn't realize was that also the thread, the embroidery thread, is like a satin thread. So when light hits it, it acts as like a reflector. It doesn't absorb light at all.
Mm.
So the combination of him playing Central Park with 400,000 people in this piano outfit that nobody had done a piano concept outfit for him before, it showed up on camera unbelievably well. You could take a shot of it from across a football field, and it would be totally defined.
Now, do you think that if L.A. does get a football field, are they going to get an original team? Or are they going to get a team from, say, Michigan and call them the L.A. Michigans?
Well, from everything that I've read, and it seems to me like, yes, they will be able to buy a football team.
An original football team that starts here?
No.
Not from Brooklyn?
No, I would say it's probably going to be somebody else's football team.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Well,
we want to start from the ground.
Well, if they start from the ground, I believe then they actually have to do two football teams.
All right, if that really does happen, maybe I get a little season tickets. We can do a halftime show, a live radio show.
Who knows?
Opening day.
Anything is possible. Show business is my life. Who knows?
And show business is your life.
Right.
Okay.
My wife, not my wife.
Yeah. No. Okay. Let's talk about Absolut Vodka.
Yes.
So what's Absolut Vodka? It must have paid you a lot of money.
Well, people would think so, but the money part of it is
artwork for a corporate vodka.
The exposure, I mean, to be a part of, because I believe that ad campaign was probably the most successful ad campaign, one of them at least in history.
And it's one of the most famous ad campaigns in history.
I think so.
Is what I've done my research on. It's the Absolut Vodka. The colors in that picture. But
starting with the name of the brand, Absolut. Sure. That's a great name for a brand to begin with.
Absolut. Yeah.
But
now they use like chicks blowing in the wind. Kind of sucks. Yeah. They don't use art.
Right.
They use like everything looks like a Gap commercial now.
Right.
Even for vodka.
Right.
I don't approve. When I see art, it makes me want to drink vodka.
Well, you know, that's why that was such a great idea, because I mean, and they literally brought before Absolut, vodka was non-existent, I think, practically in the States, except for Stolich Knight.
So did you make like $3 million on that ad campaign? That's my guess.
I wish I had. I wish.
The artist is always getting...
Yeah.
But I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. You're friends with the mayor.
But
you're not getting screwed.
Well,
she's getting screwed.
Keep saying that.
All right.
Yeah. But at least everything looks good. That's the important thing. At least everything looks good.
Everything has to look good.
Everything has to look good.
You're a visual guy.
No matter how much it costs or doesn't cost or whatever, at the end of the day, it's gotta look good. Yeah.
I heard this great conversation on the city bus the other day.
Yeah.
Two guys were like, modern art?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, what is it? Why are they charging $300 for a dot? So when you say has to look good, does it have to look good universally, or does it have to look good just to you? Because I like those that connect to others.
Right. Well,
not just a dot.
Well, that's a good thought, because I mean,
I like your dot, by the way, over by the 110. I'm just joking.
Very good. Very good. But we know it's all very subjective, you know. It's all subjective. Art is a very subjective.
It really is. But I do love your art. It's the colors, the expression. It's beautiful. Boys and girls, you're listening to Skid Row Studios. It's www.skidrowstudios.com. And of course, we're with the wonderful Andre Miroposki. And that's www.miriposky.com. Look at his art right there on his very own website. It's incredible. Does sculptures. Let's talk about your sculptures. They seem very Dali-esque.
Well, I do
off the painting.
Yeah, I do these three-dimensional wall sculptures. In fact, I'm working on one right now for somebody's condo in Hollywood, and I take shapes and I construe them and position them in certain ways that, you know, they have a relationship with each other, and they flow and they ebb and they flow on the wall. And
now, how much do you sell your work online? Because there's no price tags here.
No, I haven't set my. In many ways, I'm still a little behind, and I haven't set myself up with a store yet on my website. And there are several things, and like I said, it's not quite updated. There are several projects that have just come in that I've just completed and are out there in LA, which I can share with you tonight as well.
Please, let's start right now. That right now.
Okay, well, there's one project that only has another 2 days to go, and I think your listeners have probably heard about this public art music program, Play Me, I'm Yours, where they put like 30, they got 30 pianos, and they put them all around LA County. They get artists or groups to decorate them, and then people can come up and they can play the piano. So through the Hollywood Arts, with the Hollywood Arts Council, through the Hollywood Arts Council and the American Cinematheque, I did the Hollywood piano. And it's currently residing for two more days at the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And it's encased with hundreds of mirrored stars. It's only a couple yards from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I thought, this was a Hollywood piano. I thought I should make it symbolic, you know, for the area, for the ambiance of the area, and for the physicality of the area, and it's a star piano, and it turned out pretty cool, and it's still there for 2 days.
It's pretty amazing.
And then another project, which just just came out within the last week. I was asked by Starline Tours, which is a big L.A.
Heard of them.
Bus tour company.
You annoying, obnoxious tourists that drive in the open van right. buses.
Well, I designed the closed, modern, double-decker bus, their big bus, which is their six-hour L.A. grand tour, which goes from Hollywood, Beverly Hills, into downtown.
They're a good company. They have insurance.
They are, yes. And their offices are all around the Chinese Theater. And then this year, I also did design these special commemorative tickets for Red Line Tours, which is the only Hollywood walking tour company. And this ticket idea was really, really interesting. The owner of the company, Tony Hoover, had this, I think, really brilliant idea to do something special with the tickets so that people would keep them as a souvenir. And as it turned out, it got a lot of publicity because there's no other venue in L.A. of any kind that has done something special with their
tickets.
Well,
I'll tell you what, pal.
Yeah.
Andre?
Yeah.
We're pals, right?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you do these tours for Starlines. They attract tons of hundreds of thousands of people probably a week.
Right.
Definitely thousands a day. Hundreds of thousands probably a month.
All right.
What if we were to design, like you were to design a cool little like graphic of Skid Row Studios and we were to give that out to every single guest that walked on those tour buses? That is how my brain thinks. What do you say, pal?
Keep thinking.
All right. I think that's a brilliant idea for marketing. Just, you know?
Sure.
Let's talk to Starline.
But that's what they're all doing on the boulevard. They're handing out everything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We'll plug them on the radio show. I will, on my show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're a big company. People from all over the country take these tours.
Or from the world.
All over the world.
In fact, on the bus, I have in 9 languages on the top ridge of the bus. I have welcome in 9 languages.
And so you're in cahoots with those people over there.
Let's get this fortunately going. Or unfortunately, I'm not sure yet.
Right. That would be pretty
all
cool
I know was it was my first rap, and physical rap, not rap singing. Yeah, but I actually watched the process of how they wrapped the bus, which was actually very, very interesting. And in that, I expected the vinyl that it's printed on, you know, with all the technology now, it's so fantastic, the quality of the color and the printing. But the rolls were 4 feet wide. And when they put, I thought they had to hold the things up like really kind of dainty or something, because it looks like it's really thin when you're looking at the surface. But it is thin, not quite as thin as I thought. But boy, I'll tell you, when they're putting those rolls on the bus, they take it off, they put it on, they take it off, they move it, they get it in place. And every time they do that, and every time they take it off, it just makes the most incredibly hard ripping sound. It just sounds like, you know, they're just really screwing it up big time. And yet it doesn't. It stays, it holds. So it's like it gives birth, you know, and then at the end of the birth thing process, you've got this big, covered, colorful bus.
Very cool. Never heard of an artist that does buses. That's
yeah, I haven't either, actually. That's something new for me,
something
too.
Something new. Yeah. Let's get a bus.
Hey, let's do it.
Let's do it. I have this idea. I want to get a bunch of like T-shirts and like put a logo. Like, so it would be like the Adam O Show, Skid Row Studios. And I want to take like hundreds of T-shirts, like get them from a factory, print it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to dump them like 4 a.m. all over corners of Hollywood, all over LA, every single where. Everywhere. Hang them in like not like new nice T-shirts. Just like throw them like a homeless person left their clothes.
Right.
In the morning, the whole city will wake up. And they'll see all these T-shirts everywhere around L.A., just right. T-shirts. And they'll have the logo
right. Well, now
of Skid Row and Adam O.
Right.
And everybody will see these T-shirts. And it's not stickers. And it's not posters. But it's right. just T-shirts. It's clothes. People are and if they're smart enough, they'll pick them up and they'll start rocking Bingo. These T-shirts.
Bingo. And I think Skid Row, Adam Row, it all kind of rhymes. It all ties together. Very, very good. You got it going on.
Thank you. Oh, hey, boys and girls. This is pretty cool. So where downtown do you live?
Well, that's a good one, too, because I live in the brewery. Billed as the largest creative colony in the country. It's the original brewery site of Los Angeles going back to the mid-1800s. And there's, I believe there's over 1,000 people there. Not all of them live there. but I think at least 60% do. There's 320 units. They're all big lofts. It's really a village unto itself. There's a restaurant bar there called Barbara's. It's kind of a miracle.
Oh, I've been to the brewery. It's pretty cool.
No, it's fabulous.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's been a godsend to me since I've been there, in that I've been able to utilize a lot of people's talents there. So when the phone rings, and there are a lot of things I don't know how to do, and I can conceive how to use them, but then I have to find the people that I can work with in order to collaborate and come out with a product. Mm. And over and over and over, I can't even say how many times that's happened for me at the brewery. It's been a fantastic experience.
Well, let's start with the T-shirt logo. You could design.
Yeah.
Let's start with that, and let's just see what happens. I mean, I'm saying that right now, publicly.
So now I know why you have me on this show tonight.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Look, I am.
Okay. Breathe into the air. I'm an artist. All right, so downtown L.A. is one of the best places to live in L.A. for the community, the art. The art walk, though. When you say you're on the board, what does a board for an art walk do?
Well, we liaison with the city because the art walk was growing so exponentially to where there were like 20,000 to 40,000 people coming down here, one night a month, and when you have that many people coming into one area, then somebody has to be kind of controlling it. So there has to be, there were food trucks. There's a million different things that have to be.
Do you sell your art at any of the galleries during that?
Not at that. No, not necessarily at that time. But I'm out there. I'm out there. Whatever that means. But no. I'm just Mr. Goodwill LA. Viva LA.
I have a question, actually.
Hi.
What do you think about Burt Green leaving downtown Los Angeles?
Well, I do think that's a big loss. I personally knew Burt for a long time before he even moved to downtown. I personally always really, really, really liked him. And I'm not sure all the reasons for him moving to Chicago.
But do you think that makes a statement? Was he trying to make a statement by leaving? And
I don't think so.
No?
I think it just happened. Everything came together. I mean, Chicago's a big art city, and it's just that it's colder there. But for my taste. But I think in his personal life too, I think that had something to do with it as well. And
I've heard from some gallery owners. That art walk is the night you don't sell art.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, from all these different art walks, there's a million art walks, we have two art walks at the brewery, two a year. And I have to say that, it's kind of a numbers game. When you have so many people walking through, you never know. Sometimes you do sell. Usually, it doesn't sell, but people get, other things come in through the woodwork or something. And I say it's better to be exposing, it's better to have people talking than not. So,
The brewery art walks, I mean, those are great, and all the artists open up their space. But when you go there, I think there's almost an expectation that this is an artist community, it's an artist commune, whatever. But downtown art walk, I don't know. Sometimes I get the feeling that it's just kind of a free for all for people to come down and drink the free wine.
I agree.
Well, but to be perfectly frank in that regards, though, as a viewer of what's going on with Los Angeles and especially downtown, I think the art walk, the downtown art walk, was pivotal in helping to create this anti-fear of downtown. And that, I think, was the most important thing. And in that regard, I think the art walk is really important and a really, really good thing.
Yes, just, definitely.
I mean, to get that many people coming downtown, and then they tell their friends, and they're safe, and this and that, and had fun. So then they spread the word, and the people come down here during the day, they'll come down at night, and that keeps spreading the word that downtown is safe.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen when it becomes too safe?
Well, we'll see. That's the evolution, and we'll see. I don't know if it'll ever be, because it's Skid Row. There's still Skid Row, you know.
Well, will there still be Skid Row if that happens, is what I'm saying. Will you like that, a resident of downtown? Will I like doing a radio show in downtown if that happens? Will people want it? Well, already reached. I'm just asking you, like, what's going to happen to the future of downtown from your point of view?
Well, it seems that it is going to get to be more and more invested with more and more money. It's going to be, I mean, like the whole area of South Park, it's going to become like a Beverly Hills kind of place. I mean, when those condos were selling back 5 years ago for what I thought were just enormous, I mean, I thought kind of ridiculous sums. With the advent of the new convention center, because I'll tell you, the new convention center, that's what the football stadium is really about, because the football stadium is attached to the convention center, and the floor of the football stadium is used by the convention center. So LA right now is ranked, I think, either 15th or 18th in the country as far as a convention city. And with the new grouping there, it will place LA in the top five with New York, Las Vegas, Chicago. And that's where, you know, that's really where the big money is for the city is the convention business, because that's a trickle down and more hotels. They still need, there's about 4,000 hotel rooms online, I think, now for downtown, and they still need 10,000 at least more. It's really quite remarkable.
Mm.
But all that stuff with the football thing and the new convention center, I believe all that will fall in line.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the evolution of downtown, because on one hand, you know, all these great resources are popping up all over the place. You know, I love great restaurants and places to hang out. That's wonderful. But then some of the older places that I really enjoyed about downtown, I used to go to a bar on 7th and Main called Krabby Joe's, which, you know, kind of was consumed by the gentrification of downtown LA. And
right.
King Eddie's Saloon, one of these more traditional Skid Row bars, whatever you want to call them, are kind of being swallowed up by that. And I hate to see that kind of thing go, because there's not many places left like that.
Mm. Well, that's true. Let's take Clifton's, which has been bought now by, I forget his...
The people that own the Edison.
The Edison, right.
Yeah.
Who seems to be very, very sensitive to the historical integrity of buildings and everything. So there's a situation which was, that's a great landmark, historical landmark, that was running, really, really running down. And this guy's taken it over, and... You know, it will be more than it was, but it will be.
But even in the case of Clifton's, my worry is that they're going to go 24 hours. They're putting a bar in there.
Right. Bars.
When I go to Clifton's, one of the things I like to see are the people that go there every single day.
Right.
And there's characters there that I'm worried they're going to get pushed out, and you know, it's going to become a different kind of place, and those people aren't going to feel like they used to when they went in there. So, yeah, I mean, I hear exactly what you're saying. It's just, it's a very interesting time to be in downtown Los Angeles.
Amazingly so.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, who would have believed, really?
Yeah.
You know, and the people that I know that are really integral in doing this with, in building and doing this with downtown, they can't believe it, you know, even though they're doing it, they still think it's amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Do you have roommates?
No, I don't.
So you're successful?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no roommates.
You still never told us where we could find Viva LA in downtown.
Well, Viva LA is actually, you can't really, it's all over the place. It's.
I see it all over the place, yeah. But I mean, isn't there like the big one in LA, in downtown?
No, the biggest, the top of the roof of this bus is Viva LA, but then there's citywide CBS Outdoor. I designed a Viva LA billboard, electronic billboard that they're using citywide for 2 years. They're using as a screensaver, because on these electronic billboards, it's all computerized. So when they haven't sold a space or whatever, they need something to drop in, and so these Viva LAs they come on every, you know, every once in a while.
So what's left of downtown? I mean, you guys know a lot about the old downtown. I mean, what's the hot spots to go to now that are like the old, beautiful gems of of bars and restaurants. Could you name a few?
Well, yeah, one that comes to mind, I think, is, it's upscale, but mostly everything new in downtown is upscale. But there's one place called The Perch, which is actually right over here on 5th and, I think it's on 5th and Hill. Mm. And it's on the roof of this 1920s building, and it has a fabulous view, a skyline view of Pershing Square and mostly older buildings.
It's a beautiful place.
But you've been there, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
It's owned by the same people that used to own the Must that was there on 5th and
Spring.
The
wine shop, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, great place.
Yeah, really beautiful. And I love the way they have fencing around, you know, where the tables are and where you're standing on this roof thing. But it's all done in clear acrylic. And it kind of looks like there's nothing there, especially at night, which I think is really kind of really exciting. Mm.
It's pretty cool that you know so much about downtown and the history.
Well, I told you, once I got involved in researching this this mural, this LA Historama mural, it forced me to get involved in researching LA history, which I honestly hadn't done before, and it's really quite amazing. And now I, through my involvement now with Hollywood, I've learned a lot of history in Hollywood.
Mm. You got to come to my show this Sunday. You guys check out what I'm doing because you're going to be doing the set for my show.
Okay.
And it's going to be incredible. I think I'm pretty sure Skid Row Studios is going to be covering the show with Bob Odenkirk this Sunday at the Echo at 1 p.m. That's with Bob Odenkirk at the Echo at 1 p.m. If you want tickets, then pretty much show up at the door. Get your tickets. But I'd love to invite you to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
It's going to be pretty incredible.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
How do you know Bob Odenkirk, Adam? I'm just curious.
To be honest with you, he's a neighbor of my friend Tim.
Wow.
The mustache dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Hollywood, Bronson and Franklin. Tim lives in the apartment complex next to the house that him and his wife just bought.
Very cool.
I shouldn't be saying that on the air of where he lives, but I just
did. Have you got his phone number?
What are the odds?
What's the street address?
Just kidding. Yeah. So then they're just pretty much just been...
It's cool.
Always seeing him, just saying what's up. Eventually, I had the guts
as long as we're promoting shows. I have a show that your mother and father and sister were at the opening of. It's a two-man show.
Was that in Pomona?
No. Well, that was another show with my father that I had with Father and Son Show.
Mm.
But this show, let's say a week and a half ago at this Elephant Theater on Santa Monica Boulevard and Vine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of an art show and celebration, kind of a cabaret thing, and which your sister performed at and did brilliantly. And we're having the closing night show. It's a Dog Eat Shark World. And it's the closing night is December 9th from 7 to 10 at the Elephant Theater. I don't know the address.
Oh, I know right there. Santa Monica and Vine.
Pretty much Vine.
Right on the west side of Santa Monica and Vine, right there.
Right.
Next to the Yoshinoya.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's awesome.
Exactly. So that's on the 9th. That's next Wednesday.
Cool. And that's guest list?
No, just show up.
Just show up at the door?
7 to 10.
So everybody can just show up at 7 to 10.
Yeah, and I've done a whole series of sharks in L.A. And my friend Josh Rosenthal, he's done all these dogs. So there's dogs and sharks.
Very cool.
There's something funny about the combination.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the highlight of my career right now is I have my name on the billboard of Amoeba Records in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't put the name in my show. They just put my name.
Adamo?
Adam Shankman.
Adam Shankman.
So random. And I've never, that's pretty cool. I was just smiling because I was
When did the O come into
just,
Adam?
It was just good because it's a lot of cereal involved.
It sounds very Japanese.
Oh.
Like Cheerios. Adam O.
Yeah.
Adam O.
It's fine. I like that. I'll take that. So that's kind of cool right now.
Yeah.
So I have some type of art going on around the town. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be on this awesome show on Sunday at the Echo, and then the coolest thing is on Saturday, this is where I'm going to need your help. I'm doing this amazing show through Pinata Hour at Los Globos in Silver Lake. They're going to be having a big Cinco de Mayo show. So I'm going to be painting a chick naked.
Oh, that's
exciting. Yeah. And so,
are they going to
have pinatas? But that's not all. That's not all. I have a big
pinatas.
What's that?
Are there pinatas there that people are doing or something?
No. The Pinata Hour is a show.
There will actually be pinatas. He's going to smash a pinata like every hour.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. Whoa. There you go. And you got to go.
Whoa.
And so,
is there money in the pinatas?
No, he puts all kinds of nasty stuff in those pinatas.
that's pretty amazing.
I'm looking for that $3 million.
Yeah. Skid Row is going to be covering that live.
Yes, we'll be there doing a live remote for the Drinko de Mayo, is what he's calling it, over at Los Globos, East Sunset, East Side Sunset.
Nice, yeah, because I'm going to be beating a girl in hat. That sounds bad. I didn't mean that. I'm going to be taking a pinata, a female. I'm a painter. I'm going to crack her in half.
Crack her in half.
Yeah. So I've been practicing this, and we've been sculpting this casket of a female.
One move?
Yeah, she's going to have 8 layers on, like a cast. Mm-hmm. And each time I'm beat her like a pinata. Dude, I can't get into this right now because I'm getting a little carried away with the beating language of a woman.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have like a you know, nice like pinata. What is it again? Pinata.
Pinata?
What? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have some people blindfold.
Right.
I'm going to crack her until she breaks. Yeah. She's going to become fully nude.
Mm-hmm.
Then I paint. And then I'm going to have like...
Fully nude, Adam?
We'll see when I get to the venue if they'll let me. I doubt it.
I heard it's
Echo Park.
That's what Chickster says. I had no idea, but he's thrilled. And he says he's going to do something live on the air for Chickster's Nest.
That should be fun, yeah.
And you guys are going to be recording that.
Yep.
Oh, that's incredible. Oh, Chickster. Wow. Yeah, Uncle Chickster does a show here.
And he's on Saturday morning.
On Saturday morning. It's a wonderful program. Old-time radio meets Insane in the Membrane.
Uh-huh.
That's Chickster's Nest at 11 a.m. here at Skid Row.
Hour as well.
And so, yeah, getting back to like the Pinata Hour, they do a show here, the Lee, and it's an awesome show. And they're going to be throwing a big festival or show all day at Cinco de Mayo.
Wow.
At Los Globos in Silver Lake.
Yeah,
and so Skid Row will be covering that. And so you got to come out.
It's a busy week. May 1st, May Day, and
May Day. Happy May Day, by the way.
All the protests.
It is May 1st.
Demonstrations, and then we have Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, so there's a lot to look forward to.
Yes, there is.
Just use the speech wisely and let it grow. But yeah, I don't know about you, but are you a rebel with your art? Or are you very cautious? Are you very protective of like,
you know? I just do it.
Do you?
I do it. And if it feels good, I do it. And whether it's cautious or rebel or whatever, then it comes out.
I like meeting people on the street and bringing them into my shows and stuff. And it's just, it feels natural. Mm-hmm. It gives them a little sense of hope.
Yeah.
And then, not all the time, just strippers.
Well, I feel I've been lucky because I have been, March 1st of this year was my 30th anniversary of being self-employed.
You're 30.
30, yeah, thank you. I'm 30. And I look at that, I am like 30, yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. You're 30.
30.
You're just not about the age. It's about how long you're self-employed. That's the power.
Right.
We all want to get there. And right? I talk about that on every show.
I'm blessed. I feel blessed about that. But I have been doing my own thing. And whether that thing is, like you said, it's dangerous, it's cautious, it's everything. It just depends. And I don't, there's a vibe that all my work seems to have is this energy, a certain vibe. But since I've worked in so many different mediums, and many of them I have no experience, previous experience in, I just say, you know, I can do that. And then I do it. And then it's a matter of, you know, how you do it. And I've been very fortunate that when I've always been able to come through.
Yeah, you know, your work's incredible. And I'm sincere when I say
Thank you.
Yeah. I always have the color. Yeah, that's what I mean by like artist, is that people probably take you serious. People don't take me serious.
Well, I don't know how serious they take me either, but...
You're saying, I take you serious.
Are you friends with Gronk?
I have known Gronk for a long time.
I used to live in his building. So.
Oh, right. He's still there, too, I think, isn't he?
I believe he is, yeah.
He's one of the original pioneers of loft living in downtown L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good guy.
Oh, he's excellent. He's fantastic. And he also deals with lots of different mixed media.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Gronk. What a name.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic. He would be a great guest for you, actually. Mm. Yeah. But yeah. Right now,
yeah, you've been a fantastic guest. You got me in a natural state, very calm state.
It's gone by so
not
quickly.
Not really forcing anything, just kind of going with the flow. So thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure.
Yeah, and we got to do some really good artwork. I mean, I really think that with this show and like the, I mean, this is, it's crazy because a radio show is so different from live shows. You could promote the shit out of a live show and you get 40 people a show.
Right.
On a radio show, people will listen and tune in, but they don't show, like, they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But the numbers are there. I love it. Oh. So this is a focus of mine. This is a dream come true, but we need to make this happen. Some of your Viva LA. Let's do some work together.
Viva LA, baby.
Let's do it, baby.
Yep.
Right on. Andre, thank you so much for being on the Adamo podcast.
Thank you for getting me through the riots here in downtown LA.
Yeah, right? We still have to go downstairs. Yeah, right. I don't know what's going on out there.
That's right. I'm taking the subway back.
People are aggressive on the subways, too.
Not too bad.
Not too bad, but they're in a hurry to get up here and protest and fight.
Yeah, but there's a lot of police out there now.
So what's your final thought?
Wow, the final thought for the day. Well, the final thought of the day is Viva LA. That's my final thought. I'm a promoter to the nth degree.
So you're going to be coming
right now
to,
I'm promoting Los Angeles.
So you're going to be promoting Los Angeles this weekend, starting at the Pinata Hour.
All the time I'm promoting Los Angeles.
That's Saturday.
Right.
All day. Till 8 p.m.
Yes.
Los Globos. And then Sunday, you're going to be going to the Echo for my show, The Breakfast
there
Show with Adam O. Bob Odenkirk, Skid Row Studios will be covering that.
I knew there was a reason I came here today, yeah.
No. We're working together.
Right.
We're working together.
Do you have a website that people should go to see your work?
Miropolsky.com. MIROPOLSKY.com.
Yeah, so it's been an absolute pleasure to just...
Thank you.
Somewhat understand... You know, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to go to your website. Check out his work.
Okay.
You have a Twitter?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Facebook?
I am on Facebook, but I don't really work it that much.
Not a problem.
Okay. God,
this is where
it comes in. It hits me right now.
Those who are not on Facebook don't need to be on Facebook.
Yeah, well.
Bingo.
Well.
No, you're absolutely right.
Whatever.
So I'm going to ask you to come this Saturday before the Adamo show at the Echo with Bob Odenkirk at 1 p.m. I'm going to need you to paint a naked chick for me because I'm going to paint her all shitty. Yeah. Then I need a real artist to fine detail her. Is that something we could do?
Possibly.
Can I get a yes? It's at 2 p.m.
On the radio.
It's at 2 p.m.
No, possibly. I have to check my calendar.
No, because I have this idea. I mean, so stay tuned, boys and girls, to check us out on Saturday. This is the world famous Andre Miroposky on the Adamo podcast here at Skid Row Studios. Thank you once again. I gave you 3 introductions and I'm going to give you 3 exits. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
World famous king of downtown LA, Art.
Great.
Peace out.
Peace.
Adamo, let it rain, let it snow, here we go, start the show, breakfast light, take a bite, make it right, spaghetti, no, wait till lunch, crunch my cereal bunch, Adamo, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, crack this show, Adamo.